Yama Dono, who comes in the name. Father, again, we thank you for your tangible presence that you have chosen to visit us with, fulfilling your word that truly you inhabit the praises of your people. As we enter the word, we ask that presence go with us. Let your presence anoint me afresh so that I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Pray that put the same unction and anointing upon all who will hear me, those who are physically present as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy, to be faithful to deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have an instructional message for us. It's prophetic too, in the sense that more people in the body of Christ are going to come into this understanding, and many, many more than the few who are doing it, relatively few, and I, you know, will be practicing these things. I shared on Wednesday, I believe it was, you know, I did like a kind of, I didn't say thus saith the Lord, but I used what Paul says, I perceive, you know, my heart based on my knowledge of the scriptures, you know. But right now, we're just about 2 billion professing Christians, not born again. Of those professing, probably a billion are actually born again. Of those who are actually born again, you probably just have maybe like 300-500 million that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is, that have had the experience. Of that 500 million, and I'm being generous with my figures, you know, probably 100 million actually praying tongues properly every day. That is maybe for 10, 15, 20 minutes sustained. A lot of people just pray in tongues for a few seconds and stop. But people who pray in tongues consistently. And of those 100 million, probably a very small percentage actually pray with enough fervency to move into what the Bible calls groanings. So today I want to speak to us on a topic that I called, the Holy Spirit actually gave it to me, Eagle Saints Sower by Groanings. Eagle Saints Sower by Groanings. And I'm going to first of all give us a scripture, like a text, and then I will build on that as the Holy Spirit enables me to explain using natural and the natural analogy, firstly of an eagle, and then secondly of propeller planes and jet engines, this vital, strategic, spiritual weapon of groaning in the spirit. It's not common. I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin teach on this many, many years ago. When I say many, I'm talking about, 30, 40 years ago. And he said that most Pentecostals don't know anything about it. Some of the early Pentecostal fathers, people like John G. Lake and Old Smith Wigglesworth, and some of the great saints had this experience, and they taught it in a limited fashion because, you can't give what you don't have. They had the experience, but they would tell you that if you're going to get a breakthrough in the spirit, you need to move into that place of groaning and travail in the spirit. Sadly, majority of the church is ignorant of this. And my understanding is that it is a willful ignorance. There are two types of ignorance. There's ignorance because you don't know. Then there's ignorance because you don't know because you don't want to know. And a lot of the ignorance we have in the church today is willful, because the information of God's word is so common today. It's on every avenue. It's on computer. It's on the internet. It's everywhere. If you really want to know today, you say, God will lead you to where you find truth. Truth is everywhere now. I just got a text. You know what it said? It says that wisdom crieth out in the highest places of the city. She has sent forth her maidens. If you don't know now, it's because you don't want to know. That's prophetic of, God causing the wisdom of his word to be beamed from space through satellite. This preaching I'm doing now, the way you're getting it on YouTube and the way you're getting it is via satellite. It goes, the camera records me, the signal goes, they go into the computer. Those computers, we call it the cloud, go to other computers, and they're sent through satellites. So that's why somebody in Zimbabwe can hear me now, because there's a geostationary satellite over Zimbabwe, so that the person who is on internet there, he can pick up the signal. The Bible is true. It says, in the highest place of the city, wisdom crieth out. If you don't know, it's God, you don't want to know. And the scripture tells in the book of John, I think it was John chapter 7, verse 17, he says that, if any man will do his will, then shall he know. The reason why many people don't know is because they're not willing to do it anyway. So they don't want to know because they don't want to do. Well, like I said during the Bible study, there's an urgency of the hour. Now God has got to the point where he really doesn't care. I'm going to say that guardedly, because God loves us and he cares for us. So I don't want you to misunderstand it. But what I mean by that is that God, because God's purpose has to be fulfilled, God has got to a place where he doesn't care whether you accept it or you don't accept it. His responsibility is to give you the truth. If you accept it, good for you. If you don't accept it, let's say in the book of Revelation. We finish when we're in the book of Revelation and not share. It says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That God has got to that point. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It's a great scripture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I would say, renew your strength. I didn't hear you. Say it again. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. The Bible tells us, it says that As their days are, so shall their strength be. But that's contrary to human experience. In human experience, when you start getting into your 60s, 70s, 80s, you're weaker than when you were in your 30s and your 40s. How many people know what I'm talking about? But the Bible says that as your days are, in other words, if you're 80 years old, your strength should be 80 times stronger than when you were 1 year old. And that was the experience of Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was 85 years old. And he said, give me this mountain. And he said that, you know, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. In fact, you should be stronger. And they're going to see a bunch of people. When the life of God is made manifest in our mortal flesh, you see an 80-year-old man, you know, outrunning a 20-year-old. Stronger physically. More fit. See 80-year-old men playing tennis, swimming, playing football. And outstripping 20-year-olds. You say, what is that? You know what it is? A wonder. It's a life of God being made manifest in the mortal flesh that does what the scripture says, renew. That strength has been renewed. But the way you're going to get it is to become like an eagle. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Watch this, what I just said. They will run and not be weary. When the young people are fainting, they won't be faint. If you look at the scripture before, it says the young men shall faint. When they won't be faint because of supernatural strength, you know. And they shall walk and not faint. Then go with me to Romans chapter 8. What would we do without Romans 8? As great as the book of Romans is, if you just take chapter 8 alone out, the whole thing collapses. You know why? You don't get the answer to all the things he's been saying from chapter 1 to chapter 7. And you cannot do all the things that he said from chapter 9 to chapter 16. 8 is, I never thought of this before. Do you know it's actually half the book? It's 16 chapters. I just got it now. I never thought of it like that before. 8 is half of 16. There are 16 chapters. God put the kernel of truth in the middle. What would we do without Romans 8? That's all the answer to all is in Romans 8. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. But don't let me go there. Romans 8, and look at verse 26. I'll read it first of all in the King James, and then I'll also read in the New International Version. My understanding, New International Version is the best of all the translations in this particular context, this particular verse. God says, I should just tell you something. You know what I do now? Because I have this Esau is a great Bible. When I'm reading my Bible, I do my Bible reading every day, just like you. So when I'm reading my Bible, you know, and I read normally just King James. But I'll get to a verse and the Holy Spirit will stop me. He said, check that. Then I have one button here. I can see about 10 translations at the same time. So I will look inside the translations. I'm saying this to you as an instruction for you to copy, for you to learn from. And he will say, the first part, this translation is best. The next line, this other one is best. The third line, this one is best. So by here a little, there a little, by picking from the different translations, I get the mind of God. No one translation is perfect in everything. It's when you combine bits and pieces from there that most times you really get the correct spirit of what the Holy Ghost is saying. Because the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So this is one such scripture. Now let's look at Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, it says it in the King James, the correct thing is Him. Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, if you go to the New International Version of that, this is how it reads. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through, everybody scream it? No, wordless groans. Ah, this is all these funny translations. That this is another version of the International, but it's not as good as this one. Wordless groan. See, groaning is not tongues. Tongues is words in a language you don't understand. Groaning is not words. It's what exactly what this translation says is wordless groan. And as I go on to explain, you'll understand. You know, when you groan, it's a consequence of a, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll repeat it, of the contraction of the stomach muscles to push out the power of God. It's like, that's not a word. It's a groan. It's a consequence of a contraction. There's a, if you touch my tummy here now, you see there's a stiffening compared to when it's relaxed. That's what a groan is. And what it literally does is that it pushes out, it pumps out the power of God with greater force and in greater volume than ordinary tongues does, as we're going to see in a minute. And that's why we need it. That's why we need it. Now, let's go to this illustration. I'm first of all going to talk about the eagle. Eagles are birds that soar at heights no other bird can soar at. Typically, an eagle can soar, you know, you have different varieties of eagles, but, you know, like the bald eagle that they use for the American symbol and some of those, you know, very, very developed eagles, they can soar at 10,000 feet, which is almost the same height as aeroplanes. A low-flying propeller plane. The other day, I went to Abuja, and I was coming back on overland. It's a propeller jet. It's not a jet. It's a propeller plane, you know. And when we're going, it was 17,000 feet. When we're coming, it was 15,000 feet. Now, there's some eagles that can get to that height. You know, typically, if you have a very small plane, like a Cessna, you know, you have small, light aircraft, you know, that have just one propeller. They usually they cruise at 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 feet. And you do have eagles that cruise at that feet. In fact, there's a picture on the internet some years ago, you know, showing British Airways, you know, and came into contact with a whole bunch of eagles, you know, because they were flying at a low altitude. Now, how does the eagle do this? You know, as I was praying and meditating, the Lord showed me something beautiful. Watch this. There is no way you can flap your wings to 10,000 feet. You don't have any wings that have that kind of strength. So they don't do it. All birds, watch this. All birds fly by flapping their wings a little bit, then they raise their wing a little bit, then they lift, carries them up. So you see them, then they, you know, eagles do the same thing. But the difference between the eagle and the other birds, are that the other birds, the altitude, that is the height at which they can fly, is very limited because, you know, of their wings, you know, the smallness, the size of their wings and the strength of their muscles. But even the eagle is not the strength of his muscles that take it to the height. You know what the eagle does? It flies, flaps his wing, gets a little bit of wind, moves up. Then it goes up to the mountain. Mountains that the other birds cannot get to. Then when it gets to the top, very high mountain, it waits for the wind. It waits for the storm. There's that song we began to sing, you know, the oceans and the song, you know, I'll ride upon the storms. That's what the eagle does. He goes to the top of the mountain, then he waits. When the storm comes, it opens its wings. And what carries the eagle is not the flapping of his wings, but it is the, he harnesses it under his wings and it lifts him to a height that his flapping of his wings could not get him to. There is a place in the spirit tongues will not get you to. That's like flapping the wing. Won't get you there. You need it because you need tongues and flapping to get you to the top of the mountain. But then at the top of the mountain, you're going to have to develop solely on wind power. Power. The power of the wind is what now takes the eagle and takes it to the highest heights. You know, there are three kinds of Christians. I will first of all use a biblical analogy. Then I will then use this eagle analogy that I'm talking about. Three kinds of Christians. Wood and earth, I put them in one category. Silver and gold. They're all Christians. The Bible says in the great house there are many vessels. And the difference in these things are going to become clearer as this fire comes and the manifestation comes. Like I said during the Bible study, you know. We will know who is who in a few months' time, you know. So you can categorize Christians also like the birds. There are three kinds of Christians, three kinds of birds. All of them are birds. A chicken is a bird. You know, chickens fly, but they only fly not even up to that. They can fly, you know. They can. You know, they are earthbound. They are birds. They do fly. They have wings like every other bird. But they eat so much. And they are so fat. That they cannot fly to a high altitude. Another thing about chickens is that the food they eat is either worms, things in the dust on the earth. You find I remember when we were kids, you know, they used to have chickens all over the whole place. It's like, cluck, 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 and then you pour corn or something, and they'll just come and start, you know, they eat this thing, and they'll be running around, you know, it's always on the ground. Then you have birds like robins and other kinds of birds, you know, like doves, you know, that fly higher than chickens. Their food too is basically grains. They eat a little bit of fruit because they can peck at fruits. If you have like an apple tree in your house, I have an apple tree in my house, you know, you will see that birds have eaten some of the fruit because they can go and peck at it and take some. So, you know, they eat fruit that chickens don't eat. Then you got the eagle. The eagle is in a class of his own. There are no birds like the eagle. The height at which it flies, no other bird flies. The eagle does not eat grain. It doesn't eat fruits. It eats meat. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age. The eagle eats, and watch this, he only eats fresh meat. The eagle is not a vulture. A vulture eats dead meat. So something would have died. Then the vultures will come and, you know, and they don't fly as high as eagles. In fact, they always fly, you know, so they can see where and look for something to go and eat. But an eagle can see its prey up to 5-10 miles ahead. There are all kinds of eagles. There are eagles that kill snakes. There are eagles that kill fish. They kill small animals, you know, like goats and things like that. Because if you look at the talons of the eagle, it's so powerful, it can pick up a prey, you know, and, you know, hit it on the ground, it will be dead, but it's fresh. The eagle never eats. It doesn't eat food that has been contact, you know, that has gotten rotten. He always eats what is fresh. The more of an eagle saint you become, the more fresh meat you desire. You don't eat what the chickens eat anymore. You don't eat what the ordinary birds eat. The inspiration for this message came from a message I heard many years ago by, I actually read in his book, you know, Bill Britton. He wrote a book called Eagle Saints Arise. Give Bill Britton a super clap offering. He's in heaven now. That's not a super clap offering. Great man. You know, I didn't agree with 100% of everything they said, but there was a lot of truth in it. And one of the big mistakes we make in the body of Christ is that we always throw away the baby with the bathwater. Simply because a guy made a mistake in one or two places does not mean everything he said is wrong. And that's why we need to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ, so that to know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. You love the person in spite of the fact that you know that he has some faults in some area. I mean, once we know something bad about somebody, we just shut the whole door. And then you shut your destiny out. You who is talking, you're not perfect. You too have your own faults. So if God can accept you with your faults, why can you not accept your brother with his faults? So eagles, they can see their prey afar off. They kill it. It's fresh. Then they eat it. They don't eat dead meat. It must be fresh. This is a characteristic of eagles. And you can see the spiritual equivalence. As we grow spiritually and become eagle saints, we're no longer earthbound like chickens. Majority of the church are chicken saints. They don't fly. They don't fly. Or they fly a little. Just, you know, a few meters and then they drop. Their food is earthly. Dust. Carnal. That's why they like the carnal interpretation of the Bible. You know, the outer court. You know, when you start talking heavenly things, they don't understand what you're talking about. But the eagle saints, they like fresh food. So when they come to church, they're waiting for fresh meat. When an eagle saint goes to a church and they're preaching foul food, the man is hungry. He's not. He can't feed on that. And watch this, bro. He doesn't feed on dead things. So if the man is preaching from a dead spirit, if the word the man is speaking doesn't have life in it, it can have the letter. But if it doesn't have the spirit, the eagle will not eat it. The natural analogy for saints, flapping of your wings is like praying in tongues. The wind is groaning. You know, do you know what the Bible calls in the Hebrew, what it calls spirit? It's breath. It's breath. That's literally what you do when you're groaning. You're not talking. You're releasing wind. You're releasing wind. And that's what causes the soaring to the heights. The Christian who doesn't pray with groanings, there are certain heights he can never get to. And certainly he will never reach the fullness of Christ. It's impossible. I'm getting myself ahead of myself, but I'm telling you up front. Two scriptures. The Bible says, give me scripture for that. I'll give you two. That's full of the Old Testament. And before I end this message, I'm going to show you that Jesus groaned. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus groaned. That's how he got to where he got. And that's why he stayed where he stayed. Jesus groaned. I'm getting ahead of myself. Saying the devil says, you were strong crying. What's strong crying? He's groaning. Just a different way of saying the same thing. You know. And I'm going to show you where the Bible says he actually grew. But let me get back to what I was saying. You know, if you don't, there's certain two scriptures. Number one is Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. There is her children. You cannot make the transition from spiritual childhood into spiritual young manhood and fatherhood if you don't groan. It's not going to happen. And by the time I finish, I'll explain to you the spiritual mechanics why it is so. It's not a doctrine. is a fact. It is a spiritual fact, just like there are scientific facts. You know, if you don't, you just can't make that transition. That is why that's why Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he wrote to the Corinthians, and he wrote to the Hebrews. He said, by this time you should have been teachers. He said, you are still, you know, you still have need of, you're still used to, you know, chicken food. By now you should be eating eagle food. But you're still, because you're so earthbound. I'm just paraphrasing. But really, then Romans 8, thank God again for Romans 8. You know what he said? This scripture I just quoted, Romans 8:26. But that's not where it ends. It says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us groans which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, talking about God the Father, knows what is the mind, what is the intention of the Holy Spirit, that he is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But that's not where he stopped. According to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, you cannot get to that verse 29 without the mechanics of verse 26. It is the praying in the tongues and groanings that's going to take you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Write it down, put it in a book, save it in the bank. This is a sure saying, and there is a, you know, he cannot be getting saved. Somebody's going to ask me and say, well, if that's all our fathers who don't groan and all that, they're not fathers. They're called fathers. Very simple. I'm not dishonoring anybody. They are fathers in a sense of, okay, they've been around for a long time, and they've been of help, and they've been a blessing. And we thank God for that. But spiritually speaking, they're not. You have four categories of Christians. Babies, little children, young men, and fathers. The great majority that we see today are actually little children. You know, even among little children, you have different levels. Do you understand? Anything from five, in the natural, you know, from a five-year-old to a 12-year-old will be called a little child. But a 12-year-old is far more mature than a 5-year-old. You can tell a 12-year-old to stay in the house. You can tell him to even cook. He can do certain things that 5-year-olds can do. So to the 5-year-old, the 12-year-old is an elder. He can even call him a father. But he's not a father spiritually. Is it clear? That's what we have. We better understand it. You know, I said this a few days ago. You know, until we start telling the truth to ourselves, we're not going to grow. That's why these kind of messages are, they look like fundamental messages, but, you know, it's the truth. We're not going to grow. The reason why I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me, with me and others, people like Brother Hagin and all that, the reason why they grew so much is that they prayed a lot in tongues and groanings. They asked Smith Wigglesworth. Smith was one of the great apostolic spiritual fathers in England from the 1920s, mid-20s, early 20s till he died in 1948, 47, somewhere in there, you know. And as God would have it, he happened to be acquainted with my own pastors, Bernard and Ida Potter. They actually adored Old Wigglesworth. I remember when I first met the Porters, the first day I went to their house, Pastor Wiley too saw it. You know, Mrs. Porter has one of the anointing oil bottles that Wigglesworth used to anoint people. I think Wigglesworth gave it to them. So she kept all these years. Every time you go to her house, she will show you. Wigglesworth should stay in their house, you know, eat with them and everything. So they knew a lot about him. They asked him, what is the secret of his ministry? He said, well, Smith was an uneducated plumber. He didn't go to school. He was illiterate. He couldn't read and write. It's only after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit taught him how to read and write.
For those who heard him, I heard Pastor Porter say this. He said that when Smigu starts preaching, he begins by stumbling. Because he's not educated. He's not, you know, he's like looking for his word. He said, and all of a sudden, an anointing will come upon Wigglesworth and he will speak like an Oxford professor. Give the Lord a clap offering. My pastor told me that personally. He will speak. And then when the anointing leaves, he goes back to what's up. What's up is what is up. He has this funny, you know, accent. You know, he was just an ordinary guy. But when the Holy Ghost came on him, he raised 14 people from the dead, documented. They were certified dead by the doctor, and Holy Ghost raised them up. There was one particular experience, you know, where the man was in the casket, and they were at the funeral service, and God spoke to Wigglesworth and said they should go and raise him from the dead. And he got there, everybody was crying and everything, and everybody was afraid of Wigglesworth. When I say afraid, they reverenced him. So when Wigglesworth said, open the casket, I was going to pray for them, you know, they agreed, but everybody was very, very nervous, just like Martha. Hello, Martha. Very nervous. By this time, he stinketh and all of that. Wigglesworth takes the man out of the casket, hits him against the wall of the church, and says, walk in Jesus' name. The body falls down. Wigglesworth picks it up again. If it was you and I, by that time, I say, well, God, I've tried. Let me put it back. You know, he did it three. The third time the man started walking, the whole place went upside down. Amen. That is just a sample of what Wigglesworth did. So they now asked him, they said, what is the secret of your ministry? He said, He said, well, I pray at least 1 or 2 hours every day in tongues and groanings. I edify myself. Then I go out and edify the folks. He said, that's the summary. Give the Lord a clap offering. Give Smith Wigglesworth a super clap offering. A standing ovation. Glory to God. Great man. This is not, you know, you're not pie in the sky. These guys, they tapped into, these are eagle saints. They tapped into something all the other chicken saints could not understand. The other people were living either on the ground or at very low altitudes. They couldn't understand people like Wigglesworth. They couldn't understand him because he would groan in the spirit. And when he got up early in the morning, you know, he would pray 1, 2, 3 hours and groan before he goes out to minister. The secret. Sit down. So old Wigglesworth. Now, I got it written here. You must use the combination of both tongues and groanings to soar to great heights in the spirit. Three kinds of saints. Chicken saints. I've explained that. Wood and earth. Bird saints that fly by flapping their wings and air current. They eat grains and fruits from trees. Observe, chickens can't eat that because they can't even fly high to where they can have access to the fruits on the trees. That's why chicken saints have very little fruit of the spirit. It's amazing when you look at the natural analogies. Then eagle saints that fly by flapping their wings, as well as they flap their wings like every other bird, use the wind of storms to arise to fly at great heights. They eat fresh meat. Now, another analogy is aeroplanes. God gave me this some years ago. And then I just went to go and do the research again, afresh. Just yesterday, day before, I just, you know, Googled it. How do planes, propellers work? How do jet engines work? And, you know, I just Googled it, look, Wikipedia, just a few. I'll just give it to you very, very simply. You see? Let me start with propellers. A propeller plane, you know, has this, it's like a fan that's in front of it, but it's driven at great speed. That speed disturbs the air around it. It actually creates an air current and puts the air behind it. Very simply, because, you know, I don't want to keep it, make it complicated. It creates a pressure difference. It creates a low pressure in front and there is a higher pressure at the back. So that one pushes it forward. That's basically what it does. It takes the air, by displacing the air, it causes, you know, a pressure gradient that causes the thrust that pushes the plate forward and causes it to lift. That's keeping it very simple. You can also explain it, you know, by action and reaction of Newton's third law, where you displace the air, you know, so that's the action that's pushing the air behind. Then there's a reaction where it now pushes the plane forward. And that's how propeller planes fly. But the jet is different. It does a little bit of what the propeller does, but much more. A jet engine, what it does is that it also has blades, but instead of being outside where you can see it rotating, the blade is inside the capsule of the engine, you know, so it rotates at very, very high speed. It draws air, the air from the outside, it draws it into the engine. Then it does two things. It compresses it, then it ignites it to create a great amount of, before I get to thrust, you know, it releases hot air in the backward direction because of the compression and the ignition. The same that happens in the engine of a car. That's why we call it petroleum motor spirit. When you compress it and then you put an ignition, it gives it an expansion. Then the pistons go up and down. But in this case of the plane, it compresses the gas, then it ignites the gas, and then it releases the gas in the opposite direction with great force and a great speed. It is the opposite reaction that pushes the jet forward. The jet will fly at, typically, most jets, they fly at 40, 50,000, you know, let me keep it conservative, about 40,000 feet. Propeller planes cannot get to 40,000 feet. You know, and then if you start getting to 747s and these big, big jets, you're looking at 45, sometimes 50, you know, very high altitudes. Because of the power that is inside the jet. Now, let's bring it into the spiritual. What does it do? It does two things. It brings in the air. It inhales. Then it compresses it. And then it ignites it. That is why you have to tighten your tummy muscle when you grow. It's like compressing it. You got the life of God inside you. Then you compress it. And then you grow and push it out with great force and great power. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. That's the natural analogy. And that is why when we pray with groanings, we're releasing greater force and greater power than when we're praying in tongues. They're allied. They're all interconnected. But you use one in consonance with the other. So the jet too has an internal propeller that is circulating very fast, that's drawing the air. Then that air that it draws is now compressed and ignited and then is, you know, sent out with great force, you know, through the exhaust. And then the opposite reaction now pushes the thing forward and causes it to move at great speed. So this is what is the analogy of groanings. This is what literally happens in a jet engine. And that is why the jet engine is faster than the propeller engine. This is just a historical footnote. You know the first people who discovered jets? The Germans. Thank God. The first jet engines, jet fighters, were made by Germany, but it was towards the end of the war. It was 1944. The war had almost ended. The Americans and the British had never seen anything like it. There's one particular one called the M262. When the Allies first saw it, they just went, and they said, what is this? There was nothing in the Allied, you know, armory to be able to match it. But not too many of them were made because, you know, Germany had already lost a lot of ground. Most of their factories had been bombed and everything. Thank God, though. And you know what the Americans did? When the Americans won the war, they got the German scientists who had developed the jet engine and the rockets, the V2 rocket, and gave them American citizenship. Forgave all their sins. Actually, the scientists were innocent. They weren't fighting in the war and all of that. Some of them were Nazis. Some of them were not Nazis. They were just forced, you know. Then they brought them into the Apollo program. And they were the ones that were primarily responsible for the Apollo program. Thank God it was in the late war. If Hitler had that thing at the beginning of the war, it's all over. That's just a historical footnote. Technology, you know, and spiritual too. Knowledge, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. As I begin to close, we pray in tongues and groan by inhaling the life of God. That's why we use live scriptures. And then we expel it with great force by praying with groanings. That's why we contract, just like a woman when she's having a baby. There's a contraction of the stomach muscles. Like I illustrated, I was like, See, that's not, it's not words. Tongues is, I'm speaking in tongues. But it's not words. It's a groan. It is what the Bible says it is. You compress and then you release the power of God in great force and with great volume. It can also be silent. I can go, I'm still groaning. Just it's not noisy. The Bible calls it a sigh. But the action is the same. There is a contraction. That's the key. There's a contraction. There's a compression of the soul that is releasing the power of God with great force and with great volume. That's the key. Now, I got something written here that the Lord gave me. We expel it with great force when we pray in tongues and groan to release great spiritual power to catapult us to great heights spiritually, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus groaned. Now let's look at John chapter 11. John, am I talking to anybody here this afternoon? If I'm helping you, give me a wave offering. And then a shout offering. Okay, I just found out you weren't sleeping. John chapter 11. And look at verse 33. That's one of the reasons why I treasure the King James. In a lot of the other translations, you lose this. They don't use the word groan. That's exactly what he did. The Bible says in John 11, verse 33, is when I was going to raise Lazarus. Jesus therefore saw her weeping. I didn't hear you. And the Jews also weeping came with her. And he did what? Groaned. How? In the spirit. I say groaned in the spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus groaned. And you're going to imitate Jesus. If you're going to copy Jesus, you too must groan in the spirit. Nobody said amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what it meant when in Hebrews chapter 5 says he did it daily. So with strong crying. That's the compression. That's the stiffening, the tightening of the stomach muscles with strong crying. Look at verse 38. Jesus, 11:38. Therefore, again, doing what? Groaning. How? In himself. This is a quiet. It wasn't a loud groan. If you're not close to him, you probably wouldn't have heard it. Like what I just did. Like a sigh. And release great force and great power. He already prayed, though. That's why he stayed where he was for 2 days after Lazarus had died. But as he was going from where he was to the grave, there was nothing the devil was not telling him. He said, this one, don't try it. Don't try it. You know, this is not Jairus' daughter. Maybe she just fainted. You know, Satan is a liar. And he will try and discourage you with lies. He said, now boy, maybe he was just in a coma. He said, but this one. is dead, his graveyard dead, he's already stinking, you will be disgraced. You're going to get there just and nothing will happen. Someone said, did Satan say that to Jesus? Of course he did. The Bible said it was telling him, just like he does for you and I. You know, you may have, how many miracles have you got that, you know, before the miracle, the devil told you everything. He said, it can never happen, don't you know? And then all of a sudden it happens. Then you realize he was telling you a lie. Still does. He did it with Jesus. And to get rid of all that, Jesus groaned. He was praying all the way to that grave. And he had prayed through. He had groaned and gotten a breakthrough in the spirit realm. So the Bible tells us, it says, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, I thank you have heard me. He said, and I know you hear me always. But because of these people, that they will know that, you know, you have sent me. Then the Bible says, he said, roll away the stone. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. The power of prayer and intercession. And then he said it not with a quiet voice. He did not say it because he wasn't sure. You know, he didn't whisper. He said, and with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. One of the greatest statements in the Bible. And he that was dead. Give him a clap offering, somebody. That place went bananas. It went, I can imagine Peter, John, Jay, everybody. It's called Iyanu. Everybody's, I mean, they'd seen him do great things. So, you know, it wasn't, but this was different. A man that had been dead for 4 days. The man, he hopped out because he had been bandaged. He actually hopped out. He had enough strength. The man who was sick and died, glory to God, had enough strength to hop out of the grave. Then he said, I like Jesus. No ceremony, no religion, no nonsense. Loose him and let him go. Give the Lord a clap offering. Loose him and let him go. The hour is coming and now is when you will do the same. By groaning. See, before you come to the place of ministry, you would have groaned at home. So by the time you come, you're ministering with power. You don't think so, you know so. Because the power was released in the place of intercession. Why was Wigglesworth so confident that day to raise that man from the dead? He prayed. You know, and old Wigglesworth, you know what he said? He said, when God tells you something, don't let the devil talk you out of it. And the same that happened to Jesus happened to Wigglesworth. The devil was telling him, don't try to. The man is dead. And all, but God has spoken to him. Go and raise the guy from the dead. And when he tried the first time, the man fell down. That's enough to discourage any heart. But that's the importance of groaning. See, when you groan and you release the power of God, it deals with your infirmities. It deals with your weaknesses, your emotional weakness, your mind, all the things. So Wigglesworth had to overcome all of that. He said, don't let devil put the man up again. Walk in Jesus' name. The guy fell down the second time. Put him against the wall a third time. Walk in Jesus. And the man said, walking. Give the Lord a clap offering. Watch this. The intercession and the groanings did not only raise the man from the dead. It overcame the infirmities in Wigglesworth's mind that would have hindered him from performing the miracle. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It will give you supernatural boldness. All Wigglesworth was like a bull in a china shop. Like my pastor would say, only Wigglesworth would dare do such a thing. There was one time, there was somebody, they brought, the person, a man had appendicitis. And they brought him on a hospital bed to a meeting. The man was looking so sick, he was like he would die. Wiggles said, what's up? That means, what's up? He said, he has appendicitis. It's just the devil. That means, it's just the devil. You know, picked the man up, boxed him right in the solar plexus. It looked as if the man would die. The man was so weak, he wasn't even wearing a dress. He was, you know, the hospital something where they just tie something at the back, at your back. You know, weak. The man fell to the ground. All the brethren were afraid. They thought Wigglesworth killed the man. But you know what? The cancer fell out. Oh God, look to God. The thing fell out. The man got up and started running around the whole world. The whole place went up. Because a man had learned the secret of groaning in the spirit. Greater days are ahead of us. I want you to look at Mark chapter 7. I think that's going to be my last scripture just before we close. Here's Jesus groaning, but now he's doing it silently. Mark chapter 7, I believe it's verse 34. Yes. This is a dumb man. This guy is dumb. He can't talk. So he is in Bethsaida. There's so much unbelief in the air. You know, when you have people who don't believe God, they clog the spiritual atmosphere. So to get the miracle, let me just give you an aside, you know, because we learn all the time. Have you ever wondered, Pastor G, Mommy, why Jesus could, virtue came out of him and he healed great multitudes of 20,000 like that in places in Galilee and all of that, but he couldn't do it in Jerusalem. There was a great multitude of sick people in Jerusalem. He only could speak to one man. There was too much unbelief in the air. In Nazareth, he could there do no mighty work. And the scripture does not leave us in ignorance. He says, because of their unbelief. Unbelief is a terrible thing. So he had the same problem here. John chapter 7, sorry, Mark. Look up to verse 33. Before I close. Aha. Verse 32. Good. And they bring one. I didn't hear you. That was deaf. And had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. It's very important you read it in sequence. Verse 33. And he took him aside from the what? Why? The multitude was full of unbelief. If they're still around the multitude, that man's faith would not have risen. And watch this. Even though the spirit without measure was available, if you do not reach to it in faith, it won't work for you. Only God knows how many people taught Jesus that day he healed the woman with the issue of blood. Now, same power. But only that woman in that particular context got healed. In another context, the Bible says, and all got healed. But that woman that day was only her, at least at that particular point in time, that got healed. Operating in faith is so important. Now, the other people, stretch forth your hand. I know you're stretching out, but you know, if you do it in faith, the man of God gave you. It's so important to obey simple instructions. And look at what he did. And took him aside from the one and put his fingers into his ears. Of course, I just got another text. Why? The man had to feel something. The faith level was so low. He had to do something physical that the man could feel. Contrasted with the centurion. No physical contact. All was the word. He said, I am a man under authority. I perceive you. I have soldiers under me. Go this one and say, you have authority over sickness and disease. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to touch my servant. Speak the word only. Everybody scream out loud. And my servant shall be healed. The Bible says Jesus marveled. He looked around. Peter, James, and all those strong men who were around him. He said, I have not found so great faith. No! Not in Israel. And from that hour, his servant was healed. So sometimes God has to come down to our level to bring our faith up. No, go back. And spit. and touched the man's tongue. You know, he couldn't talk. Next verse, verse 34. And looking up to heaven, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He saith unto him, and he saw. Now, give me this in message. Give it to me in message. Then Jesus looked up in prayer and what? Groaned mighty. For once, message got it. Give them a clap offering. They don't get it all the time. It was a groaning. That's what did it. Power. And commanded Ephphatha, open up! Next verse. And straightway, his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loose. Another message for another day on string theory. And he spake plain. Hallelujah. See what groaning produces. You want to go into the deeper things of the spirit? You want to fly at high altitudes? You want to transit from spiritual little childhood to spiritual young manhood and spiritual fatherhood? You must. It's a compulsory course. Groaning 101, groaning 201, and groaning 301. You can't graduate without it. Graduation we're talking about now is to become, you know, life of God manifest in your mortal flesh, partake of the spirit without measure. It's not going to happen. Stand to your feet. Groaning in the spirit. You saw. The eagle uses the wind. Not just a flapping of wings alone. The jet, what a jet releases is actually wind. At high speed, high temperature. When that's what happens when we groan. We contract our stomach muscles and we push. It's power that's coming out of a mouth. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. It's not shouting. So you can shout and you're not groaning. It's not groaning. That's groaning. After the, watch this, observe the jet engine. It must first of all take in the air. Then it now mixes it with the petrol. I forgot to say that. It has to mix it with the fuel, the gas fuel. Then you now put the spark and then you get the expansion. That's why you have to have the life of God. See, one of the reasons why people didn't understand us years ago. Oh, what's all growing and all that? What life scriptures and all of that? You can't grow without filling your heart with life. That's why most Christians don't grow. Have you ever seen a woman give birth with no baby? You first of all impregnate your spirit with the life of God. Fill it. It can't be half full or one quarter full. You're not going to get too many results. You do it and 2 minutes later you're tired. But when you're full, with the increase of his leaves shall be filled, then you grow. Then you ignite it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Ah, it's going to come out with power. Then you just see the devil. You're going to overcome all the things that Satan's bringing against you. Amen. It's indispensable for 2022. Do you hear me? I didn't hear you. I said it is indispensable for 2022. It's always been. But this 2022, if you're going to press into this glory of God that is coming, it is a compulsory course. You must put the life of God in. Otherwise, you just remain either a chicken saint, or at best, if you pray in tongues a little bit, you might be a bird saint. But you're going to be limited to the altitude you can fly. And you'll also be limited to what you eat. Only eagle saints eat fresh meat. All the others, they eat grains that are in the sand or worms, or at best they might pick a little fruits from the trees. But if you want to get fresh meat, you've got to become an eagle saint. Let's talk to God.
We will wait upon the Lord in your presence. We have fullness of joy.
And our strength is now restored as we wait.
As we wait upon the Lord.
Upon the Lord. We now run and not grow weary. We now walk and we won't faint. For the Lord goes before us,
and his joy is now our strength.
We are mounting
up with wings as eagles,
as our spirit starts to soar. As we come into your presence,
as we wait upon the Lord. Upon the Lord,
wait upon the Lord.
In your presence, there is fullness of joy
and our strength.
Is now restored.
As we wait,
as we wait
upon the Lord.
One more time.
We now run and not grow weary. We now walk and do not faint. For the Lord has gone before us,
and his joy is now our strength.
We're
mounting up with wings as eagles.
Oh,
as our spirits start to soar,
as we come into his presence. The wait upon the Lord.
We now wait upon the Lord.
Wait upon the Lord.
In your presence,
we are
fullness of joy
in our dream,
and our strength
is now restored.
Hand on your heart. You are the one who decides if you're going to be an eagle saint or not. It's not God. In the great house, there are many verses. If it's conditional, you decide. Are you going to be an eagle saint? Or are you going to be a chicken saint? Or are you going to be a bird saint? It's a question of each person's individual decision. But these are the realities on ground. These are the realities on ground. I have another song in my heart.
Here am I waiting. Abide in me, I pray.
This is just before we pray. I don't want you to sing it. I want to sing it from your heart. It's a prayer.
Here I am longing for you.
Jesus, more and more. Come live in me.
Come live in me. Come live in me. All my life.
All my life.
Please take over.
Take over.
Come breathe in me. That's groaning. And I will rise.
And I will rise.
I will rise.
On eagle's wings. Here I am waiting. Say that again. Sing it properly, please.
Here I am waiting.
Abide.
Abide in me, I pray. Here I am
longing just
for you.
Hide me in your love.
Hide me in your love.
Bring me to my knees.
Bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more.
Come live in me, hallelujah.
Come live in me.
Come live in me.
All of my life.
All my life.
Please take over.
Take over.
Come breathe in me.
On eagle,
come live in me.
Come live in me.
All my life.
All my life.
Take it over.
Take over.
Thank you, Jesus.
On eagle,
and I will rise.
I will rise.
I will rise.
I will rise.
On eagle,
and I will rise. One on your heart, raise your other hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I didn't hear you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. This word of instruction, of prophetic instruction concerning what we are to do in the days that are ahead, to operate as eagle saints. So we will fly, we will ride the storms of the perils of this end time. Instead of the storm to bring us down, it's going to cause us to rise up higher. Oh my Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for making it plain. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Not to be discouraged. Not to be destroyed, but rather to be faithful. That when I face situations, like your word says, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Instead of allowing the storm to rattle me, to make me discouraged, I will ride it like an eagle. And the wind of that storm, as I pray in the Spirit, will take me above the situation and cause me to be victorious. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to operate as an eagle saint. No more as a chicken saint. Not even as an ordinary bird saint. But to become an eagle saint in Jesus' name. Nikatolo moshakato fredek. Liprikato fridia. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Ghost, we thank you for your blood, for your life, for your power. Lambrika, lambrika tolomoshtufre, lambriki tufridi. Lambrika tolomasha, lambrika tolomatufrinis, tolomatufriningaras, tolomatufrinis, tufrinis, In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, see these exercises, groaning, it takes strength. A sick Christian, a weak Christian, would not be able to do it, not consistently. That's why many don't. Paul said, for this cause many are weak and many are sickly. Raise your hand. You need healing. You need strength for your body. Say, Father, I need strength for my body, for healing, for groaning. I need strength to pray in the Spirit fervently and effectually. And God is going to heal you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone who is raising up their hands in faith. And if you are home, do the same. Just stretch it towards your television or your computer or your iPad or whatever it is you're listening to this on. Father, we send the healing word in Jesus' name. The word of strength. The word of restoration. We cast out the spirit of fear. The spirit of discouragement. In the name of Jesus. We release the spirit of soundness of mind. We release the spirit of boldness. We release the spirit of courage in Jesus' name. I say, Eagle Saints, arise in Jesus' name. If you're an Eagle Saint, shout hallelujah and give the Lord a super clap offering. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mommy, I think you have something.
It's John 21:18. Can you give me the parallel? John 21:18, please.
John 21:18. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Exactly. It's the wind that carries you to where you don't want to go. It's the wind.
Dearly beloved, what we have heard now is just not for 2022. I said, dearly beloved, what we have heard now is just not for 2022. It's from 2022 onwards. Because the climate has changed. The heavenlies has changed. And this is the scripture. Verily I say unto you. It says, verily, verily. That's truly, truly. Give me Amplified after this, and then you give me the message. Verily, verily. No, give it back to me, King James. I love King James myself. I'm like my husband. I always read it first in King James. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and workest with thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. What did Hansi be talking about? You stretch out your hands. You stretch forth your hands. What has been stretching forth his hands since? What has been waiting since? And another shall gird thee and carry thee with thou wouldest not. Give it to me in Amplified and give it to me in Message. Thank you. I assure you most solemnly, very solemnly, I tell you, when you were young, you girded yourself, put on your own belt and girdle, and you walked about wherever you pleased to go. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will put a girdle around you and carry you where you do not wish to go. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hand. See, that stretching out your hands is everywhere. It's very consistent. While someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go. Dearly beloved,
thank you, Jesus.
Someone else is dressing us now and taking us where we don't want to go. it's all about Ruth. Someone else is actually dressing us up now. He's dressing his bride.
Yeah.
He's dressing his bride. Because he's coming back quickly for his bride. So the glorious bride must be without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any other thing. Dearly beloved, solemn times. And I said, dearly beloved, it's a solemn period. It's a solemn time. It's a time when everything has to be all about Jesus. And everything has to be all about relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is too small to talk to him about. Nothing is too big to talk to him about. Everything is all about Jesus. Dearly beloved, someone else will take you where you don't want to go. Let me give you something that looks so small, but it's actually became very big because of the message and the ripples, because of the message that it sent. And it was all about the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. What a word. He said, you stretch forth your hand. That's what the eagle will do. You stretch forth his wings. Then the wind will carry it where it cannot go. Where it even planned to go. That's the beautiful thing about praying in the spirit and groaning. The answers God brings are not the answers you want. It's the will of God that will be brought. Where you don't even want to go, he will take you there. And that's where you should be. Many times where we want to go is not where God wants us to be. Because our souls are not yet saved. Many times our emotions, our feelings are in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit will now come and redirect. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you his salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to say, eagle saint, arise, soar by groaning, and you will have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.